Willie and Demes, broadcasting from the Busy Bee, plumbing, heating, and air conditioning game Nashville studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you, Nick Frazier behind the glass, and we're joined by Tim Hasselbeck, fresh from preseason football camp. Now, Tim, this is the beauty of the theater of radio, right? It's the theater of the mind, right? We're trying to picture, are you more Junction Boys, Herman Boone, or D-Mace, what's the other side of the coin?
Oh, Country Club, air condition everywhere. They got, you know, televisions everywhere, playing video games
air
at night. You know, they got steak and lobster and all that other stuff, all the stuff to drink. It's just
Tim,
a country
is from
club.
New England. You got to have lobster flying
have,
in, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Tim probably has some lobster.
We also talked about this, Tim,
in.
The new technology where the air blows through the shoes and everything.
We
and
know
it keeps
y'all
it
got
nice
one
and
of those.
Clean,
yeah.
So you don't have the grass stink and wetness. So which side of the spectrum is you now that you're a high school football coach?
Well, like, where do I sit? Well, as you can hear my voice. I think I still have it. It's cracking.
It's coming through.
It's tracking a little bit like Peter Brady. I'm not going to puberty. I don't know that I'm the country club coach that D Mace would be. But at the same time, we did enjoy great accommodations at Austin Peay. They feed us extremely well. We do have some of the technology, like. We, you know, super talented kids at Ensworth, and so flying the drone, the film practice. So, like, technology has definitely been our friend. At the same time, you know, we returned from camp, and some of the kids like, hey, coach, like, this our equipment is smelling kind of bad.
Wash it yourself.
I think the smell of high school football equipment and the grass and all of that, I think that will be the same all throughout time, which honestly, like, and you guys may remember this, like, it is kind of gross and gnarly as it can be at times. Hopefully it elicits, you know, good memories, you know, for all of our boys about, you know, a time in our life one day when they are exposed to that. Certainly brought back some memories for me.
So, Tim, there's a number of NFL stories going around here. Let's start with the quarterback one. Justin Herbert, plantar fascia in the foot. They're going to put him in a boot for 2 weeks. So he's going to miss 2 weeks of camp. What are the layers of this? Because from what I know about plantar fascia, I've never had it, but it can linger. It's something you have to manage for a while.
First thing, considering you're such a runner, I'm shocked that you've never had plantar fascia. That might be why you're still a runner.
Yeah.
I would say this, like, this sounds kind of crazy, but like, I remember when Patrick Willis retired and he answered a question and people were like, why are you retiring so early? And part of it was, he was like, I was sick of complaining about my feet. I was sick of, like, having that, these just were always bothering me. And I have to say, like, that was me as a player. Like, people would be like, hey, how's your arm going to hold up in camp? I'm like, I'm not worried about my arm. I'm worried about my feet. Because I was a guy like plantar fascia, like every training camp, that type of stuff. So I say that to say, like, it's kind of a big deal because it can be nagging. And, like, when your feet bother you, kind of everything bothers you. At the same time, my guess is that it's precautionary this time of year. There are things you can do, from shoot it up to take stuff to get it to calm down. And so, like, I wouldn't think it's like a big deal right now. But it is something that is annoying. But it is, I will say, like, when I read it and saw some comments on it, my initial reaction was like, yep, I remember that feeling, and it's kind of miserable.
So let's tie it in. Well, I'll let D-Mace ask you about the D-Hop part of this, but one thing that D-Mace brought up in the last hour with D-Hop missing time, and it applies to Herbert as well, is veteran players, if missing reps in camp, you wouldn't think it's a big deal on the surface, but if it is a new offensive system, does that make you a little bit more worried?
Yeah, I think it does. But, like, with a veteran player that's been around a number of different systems and has proved that he's just plain old football smart, like, I'm less concerned about that, you know, than you would be with a young player who's coming from a system that maybe, you know, wasn't as advanced or complex. So I think that's, you know, I'm less concerned about that, probably more concerned about the idea of, an older player with a knee injury missing a significant amount of time and what the recovery to it ends up looking like. And if that's something that, like, hey, do you get the full recovery and then are you fine later in the year? Or is that something that, hey, here we are in a July injury that's still bothering you in December?
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Innsworth Tigers. They're just getting back home from camp, so I know it went well, Tim. But about the Titans and preseason, because watching last night's game, and I knew Caleb Williams wasn't going to play because that's like an extra preseason game for them, but not seeing Caleb Williams out there, I understand. How much do you expect Will Levis to play in these preseason games? Because Brian Callahan has already said, listen, the starters are going to play. Now, how much they play, we don't know. But do you see them having a significant amount of playing time this preseason compared to other preseasons?
Yeah, I would guess that, especially coming out and saying that, to say, and you probably remember this, D-Mace, from all the different coaches too, right? Like, it would be different. Be like, hey, starters, you're going to play. And if that means you go on, like, you know, 1 5-play drive and score a touchdown, like, okay, we're good. We saw you. Like, nice job. Way to handle your business, right? And then other times where they say, like, hey, you know, we'll probably get you a drive. And then you go in and you have a false start and you have a missed assignment and you go 3 and out. It's like, nope, you're back out there. Like, you're back out there for another drive. And then, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, like, I might actually keep you out there for a third drive. You really annoyed me by not seeming prepared. Like, I think Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan probably have, you know, an old school similar approach, you know, to some of the things that you and I experienced in terms of, you know, what preseason was like, you know, when you were a player. So to say, like, hey, starters, I'm expecting something out of you. And if you do a great job with it, then boom, you're out. But if it's not, then you may be out there for a few more plays. Like, that would be my expectation. So to say, what do you think? I think if it goes well, one drive. I think if the first drive doesn't go well, then maybe we see him for a second drive. And I think it would be something similar to that, probably for both preseason games.
Now, we got word yesterday, it came out yesterday late, per Paul Kohorski. He put out that D-Hop will be missing 4 to 6 weeks. Now, if he's missing closer to 4 weeks, then that will not put him out of any of the regular season games. But if it's more 6 weeks, then I think he'll end up missing maybe 1, 2 at the max. But what do a young quarterback say to that next guy up? Because that next guy up, we assume, is Treylon Burks. Now, Treylon has dealt with his own issues at trying to stay on the field, but he understands that this is the year that he has to put it all together. Now you have one of your top receivers go down, he slides in. What is the conversation like with a quarterback and a receiver, or a young quarterback? I mean, a young receiver and a young quarterback, actually.
Yeah, I think it's one of the beautiful things about football. Like the opportunity's coming, and you don't know when they're going to come. You don't know if you'll ever get them again, but now you found yourself an opportunity. Like, a little bit like this Treylon Burks situation with D-Hop's, you know, knee injury. Mm-hmm. Like, in some ways, I think you can be like, you can apply that same type of philosophy or situation to Justin Fields, where it's like, hey, man, like, Russell Wilson's a starter. Oh, he's got a tight calf. What are you going to do with your opportunity? Did you think that you were going to get another one? Like, you don't know. And I think that's one of the great things about football. It can be one of the discouraging things if, like, you don't feel like the opportunity ever comes again. But, you know, for Treylon Burks, like, it hasn't gone the way that I'm sure he expected it to go because of, you know, additions to the team. He probably feels at times that he's taken more of a step backwards than a step forwards. And so whether I'm a coach with the Titans, whether I'm Will Levis, I'm saying to Treylon Burks, like, hey, man, like take advantage of the opportunity, right? Like there should be no reason, you know, that you could look around and blame something else for why it, you know, it doesn't work out for you. Like, take advantage of this opportunity and never look back. Like, I think that's the message. And I think the guys that embrace that end up playing a long time and having a lot of success.
Now, Tim, I asked this question of Jonathan Hutton yesterday when we had him on about the start of the season. And it just seems like, and it could just be me, it seems like there is a lot more excitement for the beginning of this season than it ever has been, at least to my knowledge, because I think one of the reasons, and tell me if you believe so, is because of the young quarterbacks that are coming in and the quarterbacks that were able to take that huge step last year. Now this league has come, it's become really sort of competitive. There's no, you know, even though Kansas City won the championship last year, you look at the teams this year, they got more teams that can compete with them than I think in any other year prior.
Well, I'm just relieved that you didn't say it was like the new kickoff rule was generating all the excitement. Like, I was thankful that wasn't where you were going with it.
Oh, no, not at all.
So, you know, I think you're right. It's funny. I'm going to be on SportsCenter today and NFL Live. And, you know, one of the things we're talking about on both shows is these Madden ratings that came out, you know, for the quarterbacks. And, you know, kind of to your point, guys that like CJ Stroud, I think, was like the 14th or 15th highest rated quarterback, you know, and
wow.
Jordan Love, I think, was 14 or 15, you know, like they're way down there. And so, yeah, I do. I think this is a time where there are a lot of good quarterbacks. And I think some of it's the rules in the National Football League have been set up for quarterbacks to have success and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think there's good quarterback play. I think people can expect good quarterback play. And that's fun to watch, right? Like, if you just look at, you know, the Giants last year and Tommy DeVito's the starter, I think people are like, yeah, I'm kind of good. Like, you know, as much as I like watching Saquon Barkley, like I'm not interested. But I think when you're talking about good quarterback play, people love watching it. People love watching, you know, Patrick Mahomes play and Justin Herbert play and, you know, just Jalen Hurts, you know, just guys like that, Josh Allen, like all the guys. And so I think because of that, yeah, it's one of the things that's led to the NFL being more popular. And I do think there's a lot of buildup, you know, with it.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL football with him. And you mentioned the Madden ratings. I was watching the NFL Network show this morning, and they were unveiling the 10x10, right, of the top 100 that they do every summer. And it's interesting you mentioned C.J. Stroud was so low in the Madden ratings because he was in the top 20 of the NFL's top 100, which was pretty interesting, right? And a lot of people thought maybe he's a little overrated in that. So I'm And that is a vote of the NFL players, voted on by your peers, right, as opposed to the Madden rating, which I'm guessing is very high-tech. So, but both, I'm sure, are locker room chatted in training camp circles. So what do you think would bother a player's ego more, having a low Madden rating or being sort of disrespected by your peers?
I mean, I would think, at least for me, being disrespected by your peers, but as somebody that probably has an insanely low Madden rating, I would say that it all hurt your feelings. I mean, like my awareness is 17. What? Like, no way. Like, what are you talking about? Like, my listen. Yeah, I don't care how many Pro Bowls D. Mace is going to. Like, if they had his speed at a 73, he's gonna be like, hold up, wait a minute. Like,
oh, I'll be upset. Yeah.
Let me go find this, you know, tech geek out in Silicon Valley. It might give him a piece of my mind.
Right. It's easy to be mad at that guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I would guess, you know, it's your peers. You know, I do think one of the things with like Pro Bowl voting, like back when how it used to go, like, look, there would be teams that, you know, were trying to get their guy into the Pro Bowl, so they maybe wouldn't vote for, you know, a guy somewhere else. That's why those just, like, overall rankings, you know, maybe would hold a little bit more weight than say, Pro Bowl voting, either how it was done or how it's, you know, done now. But, you know, I will say this, no matter how much guys act like they don't pay attention to it, it's impossible not to hear stuff. And then it's even more impossible not to hear stuff now because of, you know, people's access to somebody's timeline on social media or anything like that. And so, yeah, guys pay attention to it, right? Like, we have stories about, you know, I keep a list in my SciPad of all the receivers drafted in front of me. Well, stuff like this 100% gets everyone's attention. And that's why, for me, like, Aaron Rodgers ranked outside the top 10 in the Madden ratings. It was like, like, he's, you know, he's kind of just, he's got an edge enough that, like, he's going to play six more years just because of that and light the league up.
An ongoing theme, Tim, with all of these quarterback signings, we just saw Jordan Love and Tua join the club of getting the big money even before they've won a whole lot. Trevor Lawrence would be in that club. And I was watching a discussion earlier today on Daniel Jones, who I think in most people's mind would be a middle-class quarterback who's probably getting paid more than people think he should. But they decided to stay with him rather than scrap it. And so I wonder, you know, in the coming years, how Will Levis is going to track. Like, we're going to hit this a little later in the show. Is, do you think Will Levis could be better or worse than Daniel Jones? But either way, right, yeah, the middle-class quarterback is going to get paid. For example, I'm looking at SpotRac, and Daniel Jones's cap hit this year is $47 million plus. Mm-hmm. And so, that's a lot for a middle-class guy. So how do you try to fix this if you're a GM? Try to get quarterbacks more slotted to what their actual value is.
You don't fall for the trap like New York did. I mean, Daniel Jones has thrown more than 20 touchdown passes in a season one time. It was his rookie year. Daniel Jones has had two of his seasons end, you know, with season-ending injuries. Like, I think I've brought this up with you before about, like, my brother. Like, part of the reason Matthew played 20 years in the NFL is he never finished a season on an IR. Like, I bet, like, D-Mace, how many times did you end up on the IR?
Never.
How many years you play?
15.
That's why. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's one of these things, like, you know, like, and people are, you know, probably over the, you know, hey, the best ability is availability, but, like that's a non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable. So, like, 2 out of the 5 years he hasn't finished the season, and the injuries have been significant. So, like, that right off the bat, you're not dependable. Like, you're just not. And then beyond that, the production hasn't been good. And we can blame coordinator, we can blame supporting cast, and some of that might be true. But it just, like, yeah, like to me, like, you can't do that to somebody at that level. Now, listen, you're still taking a risk when you pay Jordan Love, which you pay Jordan Love and all that stuff, and sample size is small. But you saw a great sample, you know, even though the sample size is small. To a similar thing. Guy throws for 5,000 yards. Some of the things that he's doing is still at the top level of the NFL. Like, Daniel Jones has never done that. So, like, I don't think you can reward a guy that hasn't been doing some of the stuff at a super high level, meaning either staying healthy, not turning the football over, you know, finding ways to, you know, to help you win football games. Like, I just don't think Daniel Jones has ever hit any of those benchmarks that you should be looking for to say, yeah, we should reward the guy. I think at least with Tua, like you have, at least with
Trevor,
you know, Jordan Love, I think you have to an extent. So, you know, that for me is it. And look, I also think this, are you available to play? Like, that's the biggest one for me. That's why I thought the Giants actually should have drafted a quarterback this past season, because no matter how good you thought that he, you know, really could have been surrounded by a better supporting cast or coaching staff, like, he already proved to me he's not reliable health-wise.
I think some owners get to a point where they get scared that they may get left behind, because that's the way it is. If you don't have your quarterback, then, you know, more than likely you're going to keep on falling down that totem pole. And the Giants figure they got at least somebody that's okay – He's not great. He's not horrible, but he's okay, and I guess at what they want him to do. So them giving him the money.
And D-Mace, if I can, I don't mean to cut you off. No, go ahead. But to that point, mm-hmm. let me, because I know how I feel about it. What do you, if Daniel Jones plays 8 games and Drew Lock plays 8 games, I think Drew Lock is on a 1-year, $5 million deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who plays better between the two of them?
Oh, man.
Do you adjust for bang per buck? Right, that's the question. Right, yeah. Can you have two or three other good players mm-hmm. on your roster because you're paying one guy way less than the other?
Yeah, I think Drew Lock plays better.
Oh, okay,
okay. So straight better. Up, even without the money, you would still take Drew Lock?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And see, that's where I think it's weird. Where to say not only are you paying him $35 million more this year. But you're also, chained to a contract that affects you other years. We're talking 1 year, $5 million for Drew Lock.
Yeah.
You know, and
not much risk there.
No, and seriously, all three of us, who would play better? Even if you say I think Daniel Jones maybe plays a little bit better. It at least is making us all think.
Yeah, because you got to justify the money that you're paying him. And if he's only playing a little bit better, then that doesn't make me happy as an owner.
Well,
if he's playing a little bit better than a guy that's getting paid $5 million over here.
And, Tim, we brought this up the other day, going the other way. Tua at $55 million and Baker Mayfield at $35 million. Is there a $20 million difference between the two, and what could you do with that other $20 million? These are questions that – I'm sure an owner or a GM has to sort of weigh.
So, great example. There's not a $20 million difference between those two players, and I'm a fan of Tua. But, there's not. Now, some of that is, and we have to take this into consideration, some of that is, the market, gives certain leverage, and where you are, for example, for Baker, I think that Tampa could kind of read the market and say, look, there aren't a bunch of teams with the draft coming up and whatever to say, where are his landing spots? Who are we competing against, right? And so that's going to impact, how they have to pay him versus, the situation that Miami's in with Tua, or the situation that Green Bay was in with Jordan Love, or the situation that Dallas is in with Dak. And so sometimes there's just leverage that's going to get the guy more money. But that's why I think it's also one of those situations where you go, as soon as you know a guy can play, don't wait. Don't wait, do it. And, that's why I think on the Jordan Love thing, as soon as you knew he could play, boom, go ahead and get the deal.
Tim, great stuff. We'll continue this theme, I'm sure, throughout the season. Rest up the voice. I know you got more work to do.
We got a scrimmage tonight, you know?
Oh, man.
Okay.
So you got 102.5 The Game, you got ESPN, and then you got a scrimmage. We need hot tea with honey. We need voice maintenance here.
We do. Somebody told me, what I need? I need, we're in Music City. I need one of these singers to give me some tips on
some of the secrets.
On throat coat, Entertainer's Delight, or whatever it's called.
Fisherman's Friends. Everybody's got their own little potion, right, that works for them.
D-Mace runs in those circles. I'm sure he's going to test me.
D-Mace, look into your Rolodex. See if you can help Tim out.
Hey, listen, my circle is so small, I ain't running nowhere.
All right, Tim, take care. Good luck. We'll talk
a lot,
to you
Tim.
Next Wednesday.
See you guys.
Yep.
All right. Tim Hasselbeck going a little later in the week than normal with us because he took his Ensworth Tigers out to the preseason camp
mm-hmm.
at Austin Peay. So, yes. you know, nice stuff out there, sort of in between the two extremes that
yeah,
we painted.
The country club and the
Boone. The radio theater of the mind, the Herman Boone or Junction Boys, kind of old school, down and dirty, no frills, and the country club atmosphere of the indoor air-conditioned facilities, things like that. So, Tim's hanging in there. Great talking football with him. A lot of good stuff there And that could lead you into what you want to ask D-Mace this week. It's Ask D-Mace coming up. We're watching the track and field. I'm already sucked into this.
Oh, me too.
Is this a brand new event, by the way, the guys and girls going same time?
It is, because they're going together. The guys and girls
it's
are going together. It's a relay. The 4x4. It's the 4x4. But the men are running with the women. They started doing this in other meets. This is not the first time they've done it.
This is the first time I've ever seen it of – It's two guys, two girls in the 4x400. Man, what a race. 400 yards, dead sprint. That is awesome.
That's the race. I love that race. Man, I love the 400.
D-Mace is all in on the Olympics. You can ask him about any Olympic event. He's probably watching because he's got the quad box, and he especially loves the track and field. You can obviously talk Titans, D-Hop, any Titans issue. You can tell a dad joke, anything you want. The canvas is wide open. Ask D-Mace is next here on 102.5 The Game. Our phone number, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. We're coming back after this.